I've seen it, Byron, where girls would go in. They came there just to get a pregnancy test at Planned Parenthood. And the thing is, if they go in and get a pregnancy test and they find out they're pregnant, Planned Parenthood's their response to that is take the life of the child, is to murder the baby. And so we have even taken those girls, and we would meet them down the street at CVS or Walgreens, and we will buy their pregnancy test for them just so that they won't go in that place, and then offer them the help, you know, that they need.
Well, it's time for Mid-South Viewpoint. Glad to have you along today, friend. I'm Byron Tyler. Want to welcome to the studio Brad Jones, who's the pastor of the Luxahoma Baptist Church down in Senatobia, Mississippi. Brad and I recently got acquainted on a pastor's forum broadcast that we recorded here in our studio. And after the conversation, I said, Brad, we've got to get together and talk more. And Brad, welcome back.
Well, it's great to be back, Byron. I really appreciate this opportunity.
You were telling me you had some air traffic confusion flying back from Montana.
Just our church took a team up to Montana to help a church planter that we know. And, well, I'll just say this, the airline, they came through like they do many times. So,
tell me the purpose. You had built a relationship, I believe, with a pastor up in Montana. So tell me about what you guys did while you were there.
There's a family from down in Independence, Mississippi, Crockett family. He was my youth pastor at Luxahoma years ago, and then he came back and he did it kind of at an interim level while he finished his doctorate at Mid-America Seminary here in Memphis. From there, the Lord called him to go to Montana to plant a new church. And so we were up doing some door-to-door evangelism, some block parties, building picnic tables for parks, and and just enjoying beautiful Montana.
I've never been up there, but I hear it's just beautiful.
They're an hour away from Glacier National Park, and that is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been.
So you had a chance to spend some time there.
We got one free day. We went and saw that.
You know, isn't it amazing that when you go and experience something so beautiful as Glacier National Park, you just see how God is so unique in his creation. And some other person could look at that same design and think there's some kind of evolutionary involvement here.
Exactly.
Or a big bang, you know?
It's really, it's kind of hard to fathom. I don't have the faith to believe that, okay? I'm just going to go with God created it all.
It makes it a little bit more simpler, doesn't it?
It really does. And it makes sense.
Something else I discovered by talking to you last time was the fact that you were an oil rigger. And there was a certain name that you called it when you were living down in Louisiana, the work that you did?
Well, I was on the drilling rigs. You know, I was roughneck, roustabout, deckhand, driller, jack of all trades, master of none.
That's some real man work there, isn't it?
Well, we felt it was, but I don't know if it really was or not, but it was pretty tough. The hardest part was being away from family so much.
Yeah. I think you said you'd be like 7 days on, 7 days off. For a family, that had to be really tough.
Yeah, it was. And whenever I finished up my oil field career, I was working in Africa, in West Africa. The first trip I made to Africa, I was gone 40 days, and my last son was born while I was there. He was 3 weeks old before I ever saw him. So, but I think about the guys in the military, you know, they can go months. So it's not that bad.
Brad, something that you and I share in common is we're both fathers of three sons. They're all grown men now.
Yes.
And discovered that they're pretty close in the same age.
Right.
I remember that first son when he was born.
Oh, I do.
Being in there in that delivery room. Yeah. The sense of awe and amazement. You're talking about God's creation.
That's right.
Right there before me, seeing life born, my son was right there in my arms.
Yeah. I got to experience it with my first son. I was there. The other two, I was offshore whenever they were born. But yeah, it's amazing. God is just absolutely amazing.
And we think about life and think about just how precious it is.
It is.
In the beginning of life.
Yes.
Where it started at conception.
Right.
That God uniquely designed. I mean, we see scripture, don't we?
Yes.
Where God talks about creating, even knitting in the womb.
That's right.
Life.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and you know, children are a gift from God. It says in Psalm 127, you know, they're a heritage of the Lord. They're a gift from God. And to think that Jesus came into this world, his incarnation, of course, Jesus is eternal, but his incarnation started in the womb with an unplanned pregnancy of a young unmarried mother, and he came into this world as an embryo. That's absolutely amazing.
And that was God's design.
That was God's design.
Sadly enough, since a decision was made by our U.S. Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade, we have seen the absolute murder of millions of innocent children.
Yeah.
Some are saying that the mom's right to be able to control her own body.
Yeah, that's kind of hard to understand for us. Of course, there's a tremendous percentage of the population in the United States that's just perfectly fine with that. But, you know, you think about it, since 1973, whenever a Supreme Court made a decision, there's never been a law passed. It was a Supreme Court decision. They don't make the law of the land. They just interpret the Constitution, or they're supposed to. And, you know, to think since that time, there's been, now there's some estimate 60 to 61 million babies have been murdered in the United States. And, you know, you look back in Genesis, whenever there was just a few people, and the first murder, the blood of Abel cried out from the ground to God, and he heard that. So what must God be hearing today?
I was watching a PBS show recently, and I've caught it from time to time. It's a National Geographic photographer who travels around the world and photographs endangered animals,
right,
wildlife. Some incredible, incredible photography in places around the world where sometimes the population of certain animal groups is just at a minimal. And so all the care that's taken to try to preserve, to make sure that life can be sustained.
Right.
I'm thinking, you know, yeah, I want to save these animals. I want to, right, do what we can,
right,
to take care of God's creation around us.
Yes.
But human life, how much more valuable?
And in our culture, it's so devalued. You know, it's seen as expendable. You know, the thing is, it takes a life. I mean, it takes a human life. It robs them of the opportunity they had to live out their life here on earth. But, you know, even as bad as that is, it's sin against a holy God. God said, you shall not murder. You know, that's not up for debate. You know, that commandment didn't have an expiration date on it. And so we are willingly and openly and really celebrating the absolute rebellion against God.
And going back to the U.S. Constitution, which you referred to a moment ago, it speaks here, we all are giving these inalienable rights. All
right.
Human life is giving that.
Right.
And yet these unborn children don't have their say.
They don't, Byron. They have no voice. That's one of the reasons I go to the abortion clinics. That's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about it on my social media pages, is because they have no voice. Their voice has been silenced, and they need a voice. We need to understand that in our culture, we're creating a culture of death by all of this that's going on, by what's happening in our culture. We're making it acceptable. Byron, when are they going to decide that, well, there's maybe we need to move the age out a little bit, that we can take that life? So where will that lead to? It's really a dilemma.
Very, not only a dilemma, very frightening. It's,
yeah,
very scary,
it is,
you know, to think about. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things.
Yeah.
We've got to have a gaze there. And
that's
what, right, God's word does, and gives us some instruction.
It sure does. And God's law has been abandoned. And, you know, not only by the culture, but many today, even in the church, have looked at the Old Testament as something that was just that. It was old. We need to just kind of move on. But, you know, the Bible says in Malachi, I'm the Lord God, I change not. And God's law is still something that guides us, that gives us principle, and God doesn't change it. So it's something that we've forgotten.
Brad, as we talk about the value of human life, sometimes people will say, well, you talk about these children, but you're devaluing the moms or those who are caught in these tough situations and making decisions that sometimes for economic reasons or whatever reason there might be, that they're faced with an abortion. But there is a compassionate side. There's organizations like Life Choices of Memphis who are going and have been for 30 years here in the Memphis area.
Yeah.
And they represent many pregnancy resource centers all over the country,
yes,
that are helping women make life-affirming decisions.
Right. Of course, you know, Life Choices is just across the street on Poplar Avenue of Planned Parenthood. And the ministry that we have down at Planned Parenthood and the abortion clinics here in Memphis, we have sent girls over there. And so it's close. But also the Morning Center here in Memphis, Les Riley has a ministry here in Memphis as well. We send them there. We give them information about that. And so there's an opportunity for those young women, those who find themselves in this situation, that they have an opportunity for someone to come in alongside them and pay every penny of the expense, medical care, delivery, help after the baby's born. So there are tremendous opportunities for them to get help.
Just making that connection. And that's one of the things you're able to do when you stand on the corner. Not a lot of folks will do that. Take the time. You actually drive from Senatobia, Mississippi.
Yes.
Which is about, what, 45 minute drive to get to the city. Regularly, you stand out on the corner. Why do you do that?
You know, the thing is, Byron, I remember several years ago standing in a pulpit and saying, God didn't call me to go to an abortion clinic. Well, about 2 years ago, that changed. God didn't call me. I just listened to his word. And I decided that I was going to be obedient to what his word says. Because in Isaiah chapter 1, he tells us to help those who are being oppressed and to defend the fatherless, to stand up for the widow, to seek good and to seek justice and to do good and to hate evil. And so I listened to that. A few years ago, I saw a movie, October Baby. And I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I saw that movie. It must have been 6 or 7 years ago. I'm not sure when that came out. That movie really convinced me I have to do something, but it took about another 3 or 4 years before I decided to be obedient to God.
John and Andy Irwin, John Irwin, who was director and producer and creator of that movie, October Baby, is a friend of mine.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, I have seen that movie.
Okay.
And it really portrays in a very dramatic way the choice that's put in front of many women. And I think it's important to also point out, Brad, that many of these women get fed a lie. What is growing inside them is just some kind of mass. It's not a life. It's not a child. So they get a distorted view of the process of what's taking place inside them.
Yeah, and part of that is just over the years, I guess, perhaps of the culture and the news and the information they get. Of course, many of them know exactly what they're doing, Byron. Many of them know. I remember standing on the street corner, me and another guy at Planned Parenthood, and a lady went in. She said she was getting her third abortion, and the reason she was getting it is she didn't want stretch marks. So many of them know exactly what they're doing.
Right.
Now, there are some that find themselves, and they don't know where to turn. They don't know where to go. But there are places that are there. There are many places that can help.
So regularly you go to this intersection there where Planned Parenthood is, as you mentioned, on one side, on the same side, but then Life Choices, of course, just across the parking lot,
right
on the street there.
Right.
What was it like for you when you first started doing that? Did you have apprehension? Were you afraid about standing up out there?
I was scared to death. Yeah, I really was. There's a pastor over in Marion, Arkansas, John Rick. He has been doing that for a while. And he and I went to seminary together at Mid-America. And so I knew John. I was friends with him on Facebook, so I knew about the ministry he had there. So I talked to him. I went, and I just watched. And just he kind of filled me in on the do's and, you know, things we could do and couldn't do and places we couldn't stand. We can't stand on their parking lot at all. We have to stand on the sidewalk. But, yeah, I was really apprehensive and really afraid. But now I can't say I look forward to it, because I'm going to tell you the times of the greatest spiritual battles I've ever had in my life and spiritual warfare have been right there on Poplar Avenue. You have to be prepared spiritually.
Do people throw insults at you, drive by and tell you to leave, or you get...
Yeah, so I get told I'm number one a lot. They tell me I'm number one. We get cussed. We get attacked verbally. I've had a woman attack me for 5 or 10 minutes, just verbally attack me like I've never been done before. But then I think about what Christ went through on the cross. I've had people bump into us very hard, purposely on the sidewalk, come by and put a shoulder into us. You know, I've never felt in danger, because I feel like that's where God wants me to be. So I know he'll be with me.
You're in a place, too, where you're able to be the first link to somebody hearing about the love of Christ.
That's right.
You know, not only at that same intersection, I understand there's those going into Planned Parenthood, but there's also a juvenile detention area.
Yeah, there's like a probation court there.
Right.
It's in the same building where we stand. That's a bus stop. And so the opportunities, our message is the gospel. That's what we come with. We come with the gospel, because the gospel is the only thing that can transform a life. That's the only thing that can change a person's heart. And that's the problem. It's the human heart. And so our message is the gospel. That's it. It's the gospel. But the thing is, I don't remember who it was that said this, but they said that the gospel is not good news if it gets there late. And so for many of these people going in, they need that good news, because whichever side they're going in, they need good news. And so the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, can change a heart. It can change a life. And so, but the gospel has to come into conflict with the darkness. If the gospel doesn't come into conflict with the darkness, it can't have the impact, and it can't reach the people that it needs to reach.
Jesus sometimes got accused of hanging out with people that were not the most respected in society.
Right.
So going to places, usually Christians think, well, I got to avoid certain areas or avoid certain confrontations. But you're talking about not in a belligerent way,
no,
but in a humble, compassionate, the way that Christ would offer himself to share the gospel. Let's talk about that message itself, Brad. I think it's important. We just throw the word out there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what that means. What is the gospel?
I remember Dr. Gray Allison asking that in a class, personal evangelism class one day. And he said, what's the gospel? And I just spoke up and said, well, it's that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. He said, you don't even know the gospel. Here you are at seminary. Does anybody know the gospel? Boy, I tell you what, you talk about bringing me down. You know, Jesus, yeah, he died, but he died for our sins. You know, it's 1 Corinthians 15:1-3, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture, was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture. It's the hope of God that the sins that we've all broken God's law. I've lied. I've taken things that didn't belong to me. I've dishonored my parents. And that's sin. That's sin. And that's breaking God's law. But, you know, God sent his son Jesus to, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on a cruel, rugged cross to take my place and to suffer the judgment of God in the place of us as sinners. And God offers us the free gift of salvation through Christ. And Jesus came out of that grave alive, proving that he was victorious over sin and grave and the death, and through Christ and through the grace of God. And if we're willing to repent of our sins and receive Christ, we get new life.
And that's the good news.
Oh, that's good news. And that's the way I approach it, Byron. Everybody I try to call over to the sidewalk, I offer good news. And then I share the gospel and I tell them, isn't that good news? And they're like, man, that is good news. And it is. It is.
Brad, you know, if the requirement for salvation was that people had to line up on the California coast and swim to Hawaii, I'm not the best swimmer.
Yeah.
But I know some people who can't swim or afraid of water. Right. We've got those who are handicapped.
Right.
They wouldn't be able to, in a wheelchair, swim at all. So the requirement is not based on our works, because we could never make it.
That's right.
You could take, who's the big gold medal? Michael Phelps, who's an excellent swimmer. As good of a swimmer as he is, he's not going to be able to swim to Hawaii.
That's right.
The requirement based on our works will never get us there.
No.
If it could, God would have sent a cheerleader to cheer us on.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He sent a Savior.
Sent a Savior. Yeah. Died in our place.
Yeah. He sure did.
And that's the message that is being shared. So as a result of you being there, have you seen any results? I mean, positive results, or you're seeing maybe possible life change, or you're seeing somebody's life impacted because you've been there?
Yes. Not long after I started going, and I shared this good news with a girl that was there, and she was going in for that reason. I talked to her a few minutes, and she looked at me, she said, can you give me a hug? And I said, if you'll step over here, because I can't step where you are, and give you a hug. And she came over to the sidewalk. But yes, we have seen many that we've seen respond. I remember John Reck holding a sign down there one day, and a girl and her husband, boyfriend went in. In about 5 minutes, she came running out and ran over to him. And she said, is that what goes on in there? Is that what they're going to do? He said, yes. And she hugged his neck, and he gave her information. And if I remember right, he went with them to show them where to go. And so that they would not take their baby's life.
Okay. So you are obviously sharing the gospel, looking for opportunities to do that.
Right.
And then you're able to refer these young women to
Either Life Choices or the Morning Center here in Memphis. You know, I've seen it, Byron, where girls would go in. They came there just to get a pregnancy test at Planned Parenthood. And the thing is, if they go in and get a pregnancy test and they find out they're pregnant, Planned Parenthood's their response to that is take the life of the child, is to murder the baby. And so we have even taken those girls, and we would meet them down the street at CVS or Walgreens, and we will buy their pregnancy test for them just so that they won't go in that place, and then offer them the help, you know, that they need.
Brad, let's talk a little bit about, this is something obviously that you're very passionate about. You know, you're committed to, you're weekly, regularly going, being there on that corner in front of Planned Parenthood. Why should I be involved? Why should other pastors be involved?
Well, one, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 24 that, you know, deliver those who are being drawn to death. You know, God tells us that. God tells us to defend the fatherless and to defend the orphans. Is there any that's not more of an orphan than the preborn who is being led to slaughter, that their parents don't want them? And so we have an opportunity to go there to interpose for the preborn. You know, Jesus said we're to do to the least of these. You know, we're to help. And the preborn, our preborn neighbor, is certainly the least of these. And you know, the thing is, why should you be there? Jesus said the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with everything you have, and then it's to love your neighbor as yourself. Is not the preborn our neighbor? I believe the preborn is our neighbor, and if we're not going for them, if we're not actively participating in meeting their needs, then how could we say that we love our neighbor? We truly love them.
What are some other ways do you think the church needs to respond to this issue of life?
Yeah. You know, we call the abortion clinic going there, that's the final line. That's not the front line. That's the final line. You know, the front lines is in our homes. It's in our churches. It's at the schools. It's in our communities. We need to make people aware of what's going on, and the church needs to actively be a part of this. You know, if we could shut down every abortion clinic in Memphis, and I hope that we can. Do you realize that just 2 or 3 months ago, there was only 2 abortion clinics in Memphis? There was Planned Parenthood, and there's Choices. Memphis Choices just down the block, or just down the street on Poplar. There now, Planned Parenthood has opened another facility over off of Summer Avenue, and Choices is building another clinic. So we're going from 2 clinics to 4 in just a short time. So, you know, as far as the abortion clinic, we're losing that battle here in Memphis. And so, you know, we could shut down every abortion clinic in Memphis, but they can still go to just about any pharmacy, and they can buy over the counter for about $40 Plan B. And that Plan B is an abortifacient. It will take the life of their child.
Wow. Brad, we, heaven help us, you know, is a society that would destroy our most vulnerable, you know?
That's right.
And realizing that, I was just thinking about all of the lives over the years since 73 that have been aborted. Doctors that could provide it, cures the diseases that we deal with, other leaders, you know, that, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Okay, so what would you encourage if somebody's listening and they say, you know, I need to be engaging this issue more, but I don't know what step to take. I don't know what I should do. How do I do this?
You know, that is a big thing for a lot of people. But, you know, Byron, in 1973, Roe v. Wade was put into place, made abortion legal in the United States. In 1975, there were 1,036,000 abortions in the United States that we know of. That was 1975. After 40 years of pro-life marches, organizations, elections of politicians who are pro-life, of Supreme Court justices, in 2013, 40 years after Roe v. Wade, you know, was put in place, there were 1 million abortions. So that's not going to do it. Regulation is not the answer. We need to call for abortion to end. We need to, as a group, as individuals, as Christians, as the churches, we need to not be satisfied with regulations. Regulations will not do it. Do you realize that from 2010 to 2016, states enacted 338 new restrictions on abortions, yet we're still seeing 1 million babies a year being murdered?
And you're
in the
seeing
United States.
3 more clinics being built
here
in the city. And I had heard that Shelby County was on a decline of abortions.
Well, it may be of the reporting and surgical abortions, but then you still have Plan B. And you know, the thing is, we've accepted this, the individuals, the churches, Christians have accepted this idea of accepting ageism. In other words, if we can just bring the day or the age of the preborn neighbor down to 20 weeks, 16 weeks, 12 weeks, but is not that little embryo, is it not an individual? It's a person created in the image of God. So at whatever stage they're being murdered, that's murder.
It's either a boy or a girl.
That's right. It's already determined. And so we need to understand, you know, we don't regulate rape. God said, thou shalt not murder. Why would we be satisfied with regulating the murder of preborn babies? We need to, as a church, we need to stand up and call for it to be abolished. And be active in calling out this and going to the clinics, going and serving in whatever way we can to love our preborn neighbor.
Including the compassion we would show to these
women. That's right. If they follow through, they will have blood on their hands. They will be guilty of murder. And they need Jesus. They need to know that there's forgiveness and hope. And many of those who come out, they need to know that there is hope. There is a place of forgiveness, and it's in Christ.
I have a friend that has a counseling center and helps women with post-abortion trauma and the emotional pain. Women who've had abortion 20 years ago, and now this horrible wave of pain resurfaces, you know, and they realize maybe something triggers, or they discover that, hey, I destroyed life.
That's right.
And then they have to deal with the consequences. It's traumatic, very traumatic.
Yeah. You know, it really is. And to think about here in Shelby County, and from 2006 to 2009, 20-30% of the pregnancies ended in abortion.
Wow.
That's a tremendous number of people who, not just the woman, but either her mother or her grandmother or her boyfriend or her husband who was involved in her getting that abortion. So think about the numbers of people who are guilty right here in our midst. It's tremendous.
Brad Jones, thanks so much. We're going to have to wrap up today's show. If those listening want more information, how they can get involved, you mentioned this organization locally. Is there a contact?
Les Riley is the Morning Center is Les Riley. I don't have his number with me. Well, I do in my phone. And then Life Choices, they're right beside Planned Parenthood. But, you know, the thing is, we can all be involved in calling for abortion to be abolished. It needs to end now.
And if folks want to contact you personally, is there an email address?
Yes, there is. It's luxahomapastor@gmail.com. And I know Luxahoma's, it's Looxahoma, pastor@gmail.com.
Hey, Brad Jones, thank you so much for stopping by and joining Bot Radio today.
Yes, thank you so much, Byron.
Friends, that's all the time we have on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. Do appreciate you stopping by. I'm Byron Tyler. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.